everybody. It's episode 75 of the Nitro Beard Beardcast.
It is February 27th, 2012 at 8:48 Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard Time. I'm Wes Gardner. I'm the host for this week of this delicious Beardcast. And right over there is Mr. Brian Bolita.
I'm Brian Bolita, and I'm eating luxury wafers with vanilla cream filling. Ooh. Artificially flavored.
That's not cream filling. We got Mark Bradshaw.
What's up, y'all?
And we got Imran Khan.
I'm Imran Khan, and why did you guys ask for my password? I thought no one from Nitro Beard was supposed to ask for my password.
Talk about that a bit. So what's the deal with my password? And right over here we have Matt Pierce.
Good night, everybody.
As he leaves.
Hey, it's been another great episode tonight of Nitro Beard.
Matt Pierce,
in the can.
Matt Stab, a.k.a. Matt Shank, a.k.a. I'm trying to think of other ways to say Pierce or Stab.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Matt Lance.
It's episode 7.
That's just two first names.
That is.
That's why it's great. Right.
So is Imran Khan if you live in the Star Wars universe.
Thankfully,
Star Trek. Son of a bitch.
How could you?
And then so we got firebombed.
Yeah.
This is particularly funny to me because way early on, my brother, this must have been, let's see, 80... Maybe like 89 or like, I don't know, maybe early 90s. My brother was at the National Air and Space Museum down in D.C., and some reporter was in there and came in and was asking him about Star Trek, I don't remember. Anyways, he was asking him about one.
This story's already shit.
He kept interchanging both of them, and my brother is like glaring at him the whole time, saying, "You're getting it wrong."
Right. Yeah. Like,
and then my brother just.
How Boba Fett was the pilot of the Enterprise?
He was. Jean-Luc Boba Fett.
That's right.
Luke was that bald guy, right?
I think so.
Endgame. Yeah.
And Data was that big hairy guy that shot the...
Jean-Luc Skywalker?
With the bandolier. Jean-Luc Skywalker.
There was that Borg Jedi. He had the mask on. He had like the laser beam shooting his eye. Lacutus Vader or something like that.
Yeah.
Darth Undedu. Please tell me, do you guys watch the Penny Arcade TV, the actual show?
I do.
No.
Go to hell.
Anyways, this is one point where Mike Krulik is listening to the like Star Wars books on tape for whatever reason, I don't know. But anyways, so they're talking about this Darth Sith Lord that can reanimate dead bodies and how his name is Darth Undedu. I mean, Jesus.
That sounds par for the course, really.
Yeah.
Like,
whenever you have names like Darth Nefarious, that's...
He's super trustworthy.
Yeah, super trustworthy.
what would our Star Wars names be?
Oh,
either what's the light version? Like, they've got Darth, but then what's the good version of that?
It's always something fucked up. It's always like Obi or Wan or like Mace or something dumb. I think the best Sith name would be Darth.
Darth Darkness.
Darth.
Darth Darthany.
Let's see. What would they be? Like Darth. Mine would be Darth Dorito.
Yes.
They already got the best Sith name, Darth Shaw. Yeah.
Ooh.
Shaw? Like a thing you wear over your shoulders when you're cold?
Like my last name, you asshole. Shaw. Damn you, Darth Shaw.
See, now I cannot unhear the fact that you have a thing that you wear over your shoulders in your last name.
Great, my fucking
I never noticed it before. Now I'm just going to associate you with things you wear over your shoulder.
But my last name was the only thing I had going good for me because, you know, I have a really great last name and now you ruined it. Thanks a lot.
Right, Darthus X2. That would be Mark's name.
Yeah.
Sixth Revolution.
Darthus X the second. I don't know. I would be Darth Slump.
Darth.
That's not bad.
You'd be Darth. That's too easy. Darth Dongu.
Darth Dongu. Darth Dongus. Anyways. Darth Stab.
I think Imran has a really good one because he'd just be Darth Khan. And you're combining like both of them into like one.
Right, that's the Star Wars Star Trek crossover right there. Yeah.
I was thinking that we'd want something that like inspires horror in people, so I was looking at names. And the first thing that came out to me was Darth Sonic.
Sonic. Darth Shadow.
I bet there's already some sort of nasty fan fiction.
Definitely.
Now I have to look for, like, fan art.
Oh. You go down a very twisted...
Wait, what's the over-under on me finding a Darth Sonic picture?
Oh, I'd say... within 4 minutes, you'll find some.
First picture.
4 minutes? Nah.
Not even, like, literally, 3 seconds.
Literally, the first GIF result.
Yes.
Yeah. Does he have just a... Before I click on this, just warn me, does he have a massive boner? Like,
nah. Oh, that, see, that's the real over-under when you're dealing with the Sonic stuff. It's like, which page has the massive boner?
Yeah.
Oh, no, just a regular Google search. The fifth link is fanfiction.net.
Wait, the Death Star is Robotnik.
It's a Death Egg.
The Death Egg, right.
Oh.
So Robotnik is pretty much Darth Vader.
That's confirmed.
Which one predates the other? Probably Star Wars.
Or by about 15 years.
So there's this Battlefield 3 takeoff picture with Sonic instead. And I thought for a second that maybe Brian made it.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's a Battlefield 3 picture.
Right, because I did the Babby Field thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty easy. I mean, I like the giant fish, though, on the side.
He's just hanging out.
And then his floating friends in the background.
Silver and whatever the other Sonic is.
Shadow?
You killed my father! Prepare to die! We're going to have to take this guy down just for all the cliches he snouted. This is ridiculous. 4-1, I'd say the odds are even. After 1,000 years, the Sith will have risen again. We will wipe the ground with you, puny Jedi, and scatter your ashes into the wind. Prepare to meet death.
Okay, knocking me all the way to bottom of a 2,000-foot deep chasm was not cool. I'm just going to kick your butt for that.
That last one was Knuckles, by the way.
Please kill
you me. Couldn't tell. That was like Amy, then Sonic, then Tails, then I think Shadow, and then Knuckles.
Oh.
So if you're looking for super cheap voice acting...
Yeah, you've come to the right place.
Is it Sonic canon that Amy's dad's dead, or are they just making shit up?
What? Amy has a dad?
Yeah. And
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Man. It's like, why was this randomly like this... Jedi dude killed her dad. That's what I'm having a problem with here. You just can't make shit like this up. I mean,
yeah, that must have really happened.
Amy's
I guess
dead.
It's canon.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of just random shit on the internet, we all kind of stumbled upon, I think David Marchment was the first one to stumble upon this Star Wars The Old Republic forum post.
Oh, man.
And, okay, here's the thing. Before we read this, I'm not sure if this is a troll.
It has to be.
But... it's also too dumb to be a troll. You know what I mean? Because a troll would have a modicum of... you just can't...
Trace not the best trolls. The best trolls buy into it.
Yeah.
You know
there's a little Occam Razor thing going on here. Because it's too dumb to be real. Which means it might be real.
Yeah, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah.
But, I mean, this is also the internet.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what? It's probably some... I don't know, some like 75-year-old guy who, you know, loves Star Wars. Like, that was his thing. He loves Star Wars, but he has no experience with computers. And he heard about this Star Wars game. And he was like, I got to get in on this. And then he's just completely harmless. I don't know.
He made a sage. And I'm just going to read this.
Maybe it is actually Duncan MacLeod because his name is Only Highlander.
Only Highlander. I could be a Jedi Knight, but this is... I'm just going to read this first one. It's a full thread. I kind of want to... Do we want to set this up as a dramatic reading? Or do we just want to kind of skim...
We can cue in some epic music and read it, yes.
Okay. So do you want, who wants to be Only Highlander?
I'll be Only Highlander.
Okay, and I can be the customer support people?
the customer droid?
Yeah. The guy just there in yellow text like, you idiot. But, and then there's a few other people in the thread, and of course there's some people like, you're getting trolled, but even just because people say it's a troll, I don't really know if it's a troll.
See, I was okay with thinking it wasn't a troll up until he said, I don't have a phone, or like, I cannot call because so and so reasons.
Like, it's
well, for the audience, did somebody set this up as exactly what's going on?
Okay, so...
I don't think we put any backstory
yeah,
in this.
Yeah, basically, on the forums for Star Wars The Old Republic, it's in the customer service area, and it's just... the thread title is just called, Do They Ask Sometimes?
And this is really neat. I mean, the rest of it's going to come out as we.
Yeah. Like, it's just called Do They Ask Sometimes? And that's just a really weird, cryptic, like, what the fuck does that mean? But okay, we'll have Brian Belita playing.
I'll do this in the style of that epic reading of a forum post or whatever that video is. All right. I was asked for my password, and I told the person that real BioWare employees do not ask for your password. They replied by telling me that my account was compromised and that they needed my password to restore the security of my account. They told me that the patch notes changed it where BioWare now does need your password. Naturally, I gave the person my PW. But my question now is, why does the tooltip still say they won't ask for it?
Hello, Only Highlander. In order to ensure the safety of your account, BioWare employees will never ask via email for any of your Star Wars The Old Republic account details, including passwords or security questions and answers. If you feel your account is in danger of being compromised, please change your password immediately and contact customer service for assistance.
This was not an email. This was in-game, so I trusted the dude. Thanks for the reply, but since I gave him my account info and he said he needed it to fix the problem, that means my account is fixed and not compromised. Also, thanks, Mindfur. I'm kinda iffy about those loading screen tips anyway. Edit. If my account is still compromised, my info is as follows.
Removed account information by customer service. So what he basically did in that past post, he was like, if it isn't fixed, here's all my stuff so you guys can fix it, and put his username and password and all sorts of crap on a forum post in public. And then the very next, hi again. I advise you to change your password immediately. Out of the given information, I do not know the circumstances. Wait, what?
This guy's all that. He says, hi, I advise you.
I advise you to change your password immediately. Out of the given information, I do not know two circumstances. Whoa. But please check for your characters if everything is where it should be. I repeat, BioWare employees will never ask via email for any of your Star Wars The Old Republic account details, including passwords or security questions and answers. Update. Please contact immediately our phone support. They will help you restore your account.
BioWare is outsourced to Pakistan, confirmed.
I guess.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be surprising.
The takeaway here is that like when you do outsource your customer service, they are incapable of telling like sarcasm or when they're being trolled. And they'll just sit there and just politely respond to what
you're saying. Yeah, just read it from a book. Now see, this next one that Brian's about to read is maybe one of my favorite forum posts I've ever seen, because he's just not getting the hint. Either he's in the middle of this troll and he realizes that he's got customer support by the ear, but this is great.
I thought my account was fine. I've been giving anyone my info who wants it, Saul, so my account is safe. I even posted it in the official forums. Is there any way to know if my account is finally uncompromised? Again, none of this took place via email. All of it took place in-game. This means it's real, right? I just don't want my sage to be deleted.
Greetings, Only Highlander. Please immediately contact our phone support. They will help you restore your account. Thank you for playing Star Wars Old Republic.
Okay, I want to point out something here. All the customer service guys have droids as avatars, and this is hilarious to me.
it is really funny, yeah. Right. Okay, I don't think my concerns are clear. The yellow typers and the person in-game are all telling me something is wrong with my account, and I either need to give up my password or change it. I don't have landline, and my phone is pay by the min, so I'd rather not call if possible. Please, someone tell me what's wrong with my account. What did I do wrong? I'm only level 35.
See? I like how he clarifies that. It's like, oh, he's only level 35. That must mean we got to get on it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the end of it. There's a really long customer service report from another guy saying, listen, this, like, he's spelling it out exactly.
He's like, call our phone number right now for the love of God in heaven. Like,
I guess you don't want to be the customer service guy that, like, thought it was a troll and it turned out to be real.
Yeah, because then you lose your job for stuff like that. So, but this is – either this is a brilliant troll because of just how naive it is, but I think it's real, man. I think this guy
– I want to believe that Only Highlander is real, is a real guy.
Yeah, he's within us all. If this is a
he's our inner MMO dork.
Yeah. If this is a legit post and not some sick, terrible joke, you need to immediately hire a skywriter to write your login info over a busy city. That's good advice, internet person.
So what about Lucy Liu as Watson in CBS's Sherlock Holmes pilot Elementary? So what is it? Sherlock's making like this really weird comeback.
Well, there was a BBC drama that's really
right,
popular.
Which is actually really good. The one with Benedict Cumberbatch. Yes, Benedict Cumberbatch.
That name.
Best name. He's the dude who plays Sherlock, yeah. And he's going to be what? I think he's going to be the voice of Smaug in the upcoming Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, so there was that, and then there are the new Sherlock movies with Robert Downey Jr. And now all of a sudden Lucy Liu is going to be Watson on CBS.
Well, I think like that's Sherlock show, the new one on BBC. That's supposed to be pretty modern, right? More of a modern day Sherlock.
Yes, it is because Watson in that one on the Masterpiece Theater BBC one, he's a an Iraq War veteran.
Okay, yeah, because I think CBS optioned that, and they're making it just more modern for America.
They're even more modernizing it by making Watson a woman.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, I don't have any particular issues with that. I just think it's kind of funny.
If it works, it works. But at that point, why are you optioning that show and not just Sherlock Holmes in general?
What the fuck is this? That's got to be the podcast art for this episode. What the shit?
That is literally the only thing I know about this guy. it's from an illustrated review of War Horse.
Oh my god! And
it's
shows
a picture of him with like the horse.
It shows horse reins.
Really, this super derpy watercolor illustration of Benedict Cumberbatch with fucking what are those things called?
The reins.
A bit
reins, yeah.
Bridle.
Thank you. Shawl.
Shaw.
Also,
you and
fuck
your
you.
Fancy learning words.
That's awesome. God, you know what I didn't do this year? I did not watch a lot of movies. Like, I've watched plenty on Netflix, yeah. But I don't think I saw any of the Oscar or any of the big fancy movies.
Yeah, I just saw Fall and the Artist. Those are the only.
It seems spectacularly weak this year because, you know, I saw through like when they finally like, released the nominations, I like recognized nothing in that list.
I think apparently, I just don't care about serious movies right now or for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, if you give me a Pixar movie or something like that, I'll watch that. Mm-hmm. Or like
you
a really
don't
dumb superhero
go see
movie.
Tree of Life.
I don't know what that is and could not possibly care less.
It's apparently like the height of ridiculous abstract cinema.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see some amazing BS Japanese metaphysics? Tree
yes.
of Life.
Right. Tree of Life. Tree of Life is El Shaddai, the movie.
Yeah, it's an episode of
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, it's an episode of Neon Genesis Evangelion. But.
Now I really don't want to see it.
But I will tell you this. There's nothing funnier to me than Twitter, a lot of Twitter people. And I was kind of proud of all of us in this room right now because none of us did it. But there was a lot of tweets like, oh, like we ever need to care about the Academy Awards. Oh, this is so – I'm so above this type of, you know, remarks.
I'm so cool. I don't pay attention to cool things.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to pop culture because I'm a rebel.
It's one thing for these people to like say these things. I'm like, okay, fine. You don't watch the Oscars. I didn't watch the Oscars. I don't give a shit about the Oscars. I don't give people shit about watching the Oscars, right. And I don't like make it public that I didn't watch
exactly.
the Oscars.
That's the difference. It's like
they've been doing this a lot the last month because there was all that stuff during the Super Bowl where people would tweet just endlessly about how they don't care about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just catty.
Which I'm gonna have a party where the Super Bowl is going on, but we're not gonna watch the Super Bowl, aren't we fucking hip? No, you're goddamn annoying. Please find something else to do.
Exactly.
And I don't care about the Super Bowl, and how I'm expressing that is by not watching the Super Bowl.
Or talking about it in any context. Yes. Exactly. And
if you're having a party during the Super Bowl but not watching the Super Bowl, you know what you should be doing? Talking to your party attendees.
But
get
really,
off of Twitter.
But here's the thing that gets me is those same people that are doing that are the same people that vote for people on Celebrity Dance or whatever it's called. And those are the same people that vote on American Idol. And a lot of that same demographic that's really catty about TV awards and, oh, look at these pompous assholes, fucking love E3. They love E3. They can't, oh, did you see the new screenshot of Leon Kennedy's parted hair? Fuck that. Like, this.
It's parted to the left side this time.
Yeah, it's groundbreaking. And I'm like,
I think the best thing to come out of the Super Bowl was a tweet that I saw that Andrew McClure, MCC, who makes video games and things, Jumpman, that he retweeted from some guy saying, "Millions watch as the superb owl rends crowds with his dreadful beak and crushes them with his terrible talons."
#superb owl.
Or in one word, it's Super Bowl.
I'm glad Superb Owl has been making the rounds. Yeah. That's a good pun.
That is
pretty good.
But it's like, this is what Twitter does in general now. Like on Valentine's Day, you had a bunch of people tweeting about how much they don't care about Valentine's Day.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is just another day, corporate whoreism. Like, whatever, who gives a shit? If you don't care, just shut up about it.
If you don't care, then don't care.
Yeah,
it's obvious that they do care, and they care very deeply about making sure you know they don't care.
Right, correct. And I mean, they say all this stuff, corporate shilling, and can you believe these pompous assholes? Yet these are the people that want to, like, the very next tweet, they'll be like, hey, people should follow me on Twitter, because I guess Twitter followers are important somehow.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go to my MySpace music page.
What I'd like to do is,
you can't be counterculture and have a hashtag.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You're not fighting the system by being on Twitter.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say that for Valentine's Day, the only thing that annoys me more than people who are actively pretending that they don't care are people who, like, put up a big front about how it's a pain in the ass that, oh, now I have to go buy my girlfriend candy.
Yeah. It's like, fuck.
Go get her candy.
Yeah.
Tell her you love her. What's the problem?
Yeah. Also, fuck you. You have a girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm going to have sex tonight. Oh, this is such a pain in the ass. Go to hell. Number one.
So this is kind of great. I was just peeking on Twitter, and Ian Marsh, who's one of the brothers behind Nimblebit, they make a bunch of iOS games like Tiny Tower, which has gotten some stuff recently over the whole Dream Heights Zynga clone. But anyways, so apparently some guy mailed them an iPad 2 with his resume on it. So they said mailing an iPad 2 with your resume on it is certainly one way to get our attention. That's not a bad idea.
If you can drop $500 just in like a one-way trip for your resume, maybe you don't need the job that badly.
Yeah.
Maybe he wanted it back. He's like, by the way, I'll pick it up when I start working there.
Oh, that's actually a good call.
Yeah, that would be pretty cocky.
That's that old deal about like leaving a stopwatch over to a girl's house and be like, oh crap, I forgot my watch, can I come back over?
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, but you never heard about like just leaving a necklace or there's a certain term for it, but I did that all the time in college.
It was a Seinfeld joke, and I think like in that episode, the woman denied that the hat or whatever he left there was never ever there.
Right.
So that can backfire.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh no, my hat." It worked so well.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, man.
What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. Where are we?
I don't know. Let's talk about trailers. Let's talk about the different types of the different archetypes of trailers.
Yeah, we were discussing
Dubstep.
It's dubstep trailers.
Yeah, we were talking about this because
there's dubstep trailers. There's also Kanye West power trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Which I think fell out of favor.
Yeah, that was kind of a quick deal. But yeah, what we've noticed is over the past, what would we say, 3 or 4 years, there's been certain types of trailers. And like Gears of War, having Mad World, I guess fits into its sentimental, but it makes it
right. There's the slow emotional fade in and fade out. Sad story or sad music trailer. I don't know what would we call that.
Like the
Mad World trailer.
Yeah, like the big vignette. Like the
The sentimental, I guess. The
sentimental.
We could call it the maudlin, because that's basically
the mawkish.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. Maudlin trailers.
Works for me.
Yeah, it makes you feel a certain emotion.
Right, it makes you feel like it's all intense and...
No, it's not, even though it's a bunch of silly guys with football helmets on.
Oh, no, it's actually kind of the opposite from Intense, because if it's Intense, it'd come out with, like, just, like, a hard-rocking soundtrack and, like, get your testosterone.
Oh, no, that's the butt-rock trailer.
Yeah, the butt-rock trailer. Yeah. Yeah, no, the Maudlin trailer is where, you know, the classic example being, like, Mad World for Gears of War. Yeah. It's completely opposite of, like, the actual theme they're going for Gears of War, but it's still made for a pretty effective trailer.
What's funny is those Mad World trailers, they work out much better than any of those similar moments in the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the backwards Dead Island trailer falls into that same same class.
Yeah.
You know what also worked for that were the Halo trailers. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
I was going to say also Rage's Burning's Jacob Ladder trailer.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good call. And that new Transformers trailer is pretty hilarious. With a song about the river or whatever.
Okay, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I fell for that trailer. I saw
turns it. Yeah, fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex at the end. And he breathes fire.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
I'm gonna have to watch that over the break.
He holds an Autobot in his arms as his lights turn off in his eyes.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Turn him back on.
Shit. I gotta admit, I'm kind of a sucker for the Maudlin trailer. Because, like, the Halo trailers that they put out for, like, Halo 3, I think, where they had the soldiers coming up and talking about the war.
But see, the Believe trailers were actually pretty well done, and now Mass Effect 3 is trying to copy them.
I haven't seen the Mass Effect. I've been trying to avoid the Mass Effect trailers.
Basically,
there's, like, a new one every 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On kind of a side note, apparently they have an unboxing video of Mass Effect 3, and it has reversible FemShep on the back.
Did they get their copy from space? Or at least from the stratosphere?
Does not say. I'm going to assume this is a review copy.
Genuinely shocked nobody died from that.
Me too. I thought about
that. Oh, wait, has it already happened?
It's going to fall into orbit. Oh. And then some old woman's going to be at Walmart, like, taking out her pack of 10, like, 10, the big bundle of 10 socks that come in a big value pack. She's going to be walking out, and that box is just going to hit her the fuck over the head, just, well, buy them! And, like, people are going to look around, like, what happened? Then they're going to
come around. I can't mention the terminal velocity of, like, a 360 box is that high. Those things are pretty light.
Well, even a penny can split your brain like a bullet if it came.
No, nah, it's been proven it can't.
Mythbusters,
broke that shit. It's terminal velocity. It's like once an object falls a certain distance, it's not going to gain any more speed. That's what's called terminal velocity.
Right.
It's like,
but even that'll kill you.
Well, what happened with this? I didn't see any news about who got what copies or like what happened
it,
with
it
them.
It landed
one
on
the
top
ocean.
Nice.
Yeah. One guy tried to raffle his on eBay and got shut down.
Yeah,
of course.
Because it's apparently kind of illegal.
Yeah.
One landed on top of a mountain lion, and three people were killed trying to reach it.
Right. And one landed in the World of Warcraft, and they don't know what to do with it.
One
that
landed
became
in the
Old Republic.
Yeah.
One landed in the nest of an endangered bald eagle.
Yeah,
and it's just untouchable now.
The only way you can get it is with a rifle bullet. You just have to shoot at it to get it out of the tree. But you can't hit that eagle, man. You can't hit it.
What I was expecting is that, like, it would fall in, like, a mountain or a forest or some Lord of the Rings-style setting, and, like, a group of people would go try to get it and lose people periodically.
Right.
And they'd find it, and it turns out to not be the system it, like, they have.
Yeah.
It's like PS3 over trying to get it. And, like, go, no.
There's a movie here somewhere about, like, these people, like, you know, one landed on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. We have
one
to go get it. And they start
taking each other behind the DMZ in North Korea.
Right,
it's
just
a found footage documentary.
Right, exactly, where they start taking each other out because they just all want this copy of Mass Effect 3. But by the time they get back, it's come out.
I like the idea of, like, one of them landing in North Korea and just transforming, like, some poor peasant farmer's life when he finds this copy, and, like, the North Korean government tries to come after him and kill him because he's got this westernized object.
It'll be directed by Danny Boyle.
It'd be great.
It'd be awesome.
What was that movie with Mel Gibson where he was, like, a conspiracy theorist?
It was called
Conspiracy
Theory. Yeah.
So it would be like that.
Was it called The Beaver?
It's kind of funny that he was in that movie and he turns out to be actually sort of crazy.
Yeah. Like, what better person? The only better person they could have got to be in The Beaver with a little sock beaver is Gary Busey. That's the only other person that would make perfect sense.
Fucking Gary
as long
Busey.
As you tell him it's not a movie.
Yeah, that's the problem with the Gary Busey version. It would actually be a documentary.
Yeah.
I'm With Busey was actually a fantastic show.
I love that show, man. You talked about getting a yellow Slurpee and it tasted like urine because Andy Dick was in there or something. Like, he made this big puzzle out of nothing, and Andy Dick was like, "You're crazy," and, like, ran away.
Like, he clearly hammed it up, but, I mean, I believe that was at least 50% actual Gary Busey.
And that poor guy that's with him is like, I don't know what is going on.
Can we start a Kickstarter to fund a Gary Busey developed game? Like, he's the game designer. He just conceptualizes, and all the ideas are his.
And give it to be published by Double Fine.
Yeah.
I would.
Can I also talk about how I'm kind of getting pissed off at Kickstarter at this point?
Why is that?
To some extent. I don't know. Look, I'm all for helping these projects and get off the ground, but now there's a fucking Kickstarter for everything. Yeah. Everyone's give me money.
Well, Kickstarter was a huge thing before this.
Right. You know, it was pretty big. Yeah. Just not in the game.
It wasn't a huge thing. Like, Double Fine's 1 million was the first project to get that far.
Yeah.
But now everyone thinks they're going to use it, and that candle's going to burn out really fast.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think the Double Fine, the Tim Schafer thing was kind of, may have kicked
it's
off
anomaly.
A long, yeah. Well, but not only that, but yeah, it's kicked off a string of guys going, shit, I should do a Kickstarter.
I'm just glad Idle Thumbs got in while it was hot, because I'd like them coming back.
Yeah.
Hot scoops.
That's good stuff.
Hot scoops. So that's
probably not good for our manufactured war with them.
Right.
Remember,
the Words with Friends.
Oh, well, you're right. Yes, exactly. With Sean Vanneman.
That's all right. But no, I'm super stoked that. And here's the thing. I just want to kind of go a little behind the scenes real quick, because we actually get some comments that, some emails and stuff is, why do you guys talk about other podcasts? Like, we're in some sort of war of attrition. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we'll mention Giant Bomb, or like how it would be bad for business. Like, oh, well, if we promote Idle Thumbs, what if they go to Idle Thumbs and never come back to listen to the Beardcast? And it's like, they're kind of missing the point of what a podcast is, man. Like, the more the merrier, in my opinion.
Or there are some, like, podcasts you can mention the names of, and they'll go to that podcast, and they'll listen to it, and then they'll come back here forever.
Yeah.
Such as Warning, a Huge Podcast. That thing is shit.
Which one is it?
Warning, it's Nick Rocks' podcast.
Yeah. I've never...
Warning,
Nick
Rocks. And other
go listen to
alumnus.
It.
Yeah. It's really, really... Like, it's informative, but boring.
A Huge Podcast? Is that the one on hardcore gaming?
Probably.
So hardcore.
Hardcore Gaming 101 is a great site. It's a wonderful
site.
They
really oversold their big Konami expose.
Yeah.
Is that the same place that did that magazine called Hardcore Gaming Magazine? Are they related in any way?
No.
There's Die Hard Game Fan and it's in Hardcore Gaming Magazine. Hardcore Gaming 101,
In any way.
Okay. No.
No, Hardcore Gaming 101 is a site run by Kurt Collada, who used to run the Castlevania Dungeon.
Okay.
And he basically writes endless articles that go into incredible detail about just any series he feels like writing about.
How Rogers-esque.
Yeah, it's hard,
but not tedious.
No, it's not like that at all. HardcoreGaming101.net. It's a very, very good site.
Cool.
So
it's just, the blog has a few different contributors, and some of them are not as good writers as Kurt.
Right. I'm not a good writer, so I just put YouTube videos of, like, animals doing funny things on Nitrogen. That's usually what I do.
What was the freaking hockey ad with the polar bear?
Oh yeah, that was years ago, man. It was, I think they hired that same like full motion video team or like 3D animation team that works now with the Taiwan News. That does
one. Right,
it's,
yes.
Yeah, it's a polar bear because they're the bears, this hockey team. And at first it starts playing hockey, and then it hits the puck so hard it blows out the building, and then it causes a volcano to erupt, and he hops in a jet and, like, flies away and stuff.
I think there's a Pegasus at some point.
Yeah, he goes and he fights in, like, a quantum time loop. And, oh, it's the coolest video maybe on the planet. I need to repost it as a throwback because, oh, man, that's so good.
So, real quick, back to our – sorry, this is a quick aside. Back to our manufactured war with Idle Thumbs.
Yeah.
So last night, or yeah, I think it was last night, Nick Brecken, Nick, quote unquote, fuck Nick Brecken, posted up a an image, like a photo of the Grim Fandango soundtrack CD that he had, like with just a little text saying valuable, and like that was it. So from my crate of old games and manuals that I've been sorting through, I sent him back a photo of the manual of William Shatner's Tech War.
Oh, I saw that.
A really old FPS. I think, well, oh shit, what year is it from? Hold on a sec. Tech War Shatner.
I think that's Quake.
No, yeah, before Quake.
This was William Shatner's Tech War, 1995. It was using the build engine.
Okay, build, yeah. So for Duke,
yeah. So yeah, so I tweeted him back that saying invaluable, and he just kind of said whoa, and then I found a screenshot that has a guy that looks exactly like his avatar with the sunglasses, but anyways, so yeah, that wasn't so much war as it was.
You won up. I don't know. No, it is a war because you won up them.
I didn't want to. Yeah. I don't want
to. You put it up. You put up the big guns, man. You put up.
I can't in good mind say that I won up Grim Fandango with William Shatner's War.
And that's like they're like 2-0 against them too, because you also destroyed them.
God, you are unrelenting, Brian Belew.
Yeah.
You guys are turning me out to be a monster. I'm not.
See, well, you're the one with propaganda. We have to push this harder.
We need.
So back to the trailers.
Yeah, trailers. We're talking about the dubstep trailers. Let's talk about the Borderlands 2 trailer and how much I loved it.
I liked it until the claptrap.
So we're gonna rewind a bit, because before that there was the Far Cry 3 trailer.
Yeah.
Where harmless traveling college student Adrian Brody becomes a murdering machine. And then at the end of that,
you could say he's on a Brody quest.
Yes, you can say he's on a Brody quest.
just killed Mark Bradshaw.
It straight up just sounded like it was swinging and dragging against the desk or something. Uh-huh. But there's a Far Cry 3 channel with like epic or trailer with like epic shit and guns, and then at the end it's just like and dubstep kicks in. So I don't know that they would have gotten it out in time, but I hope that the Borderlands 2 trailer was kind of poking fun at that.
It had to have been done a long time before that.
Right, so, well, anyways, I mean, the Borderlands 2 trailer, God, I'm just as dexic as hell tonight. The Borderlands 2 trailer, like, as far as video game trailers go, that was a fucking video game trailer.
Yeah, that was very video game.
And I embrace it for that, so.
See, Borderlands has never had a problem with awesome trailers. Because the first one had a pretty great trailer, too.
It did.
It was just tedious and boring.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought Borderlands...
Speak for yourself, Mr. No Fun McCon Fun.
I think I played with you, didn't I? Like, you,
It's entirely possible. I'm trying to think. No, because I even made things. I think my main group was myself, Kaylin, who we had on the show once, Jan Turiu, Angry Linux Geek, old friend of ours. And then maybe it was, and then Lytor. So I don't know that I played with you. Maybe we did the Island of Dr. Ned together.
Maybe. But I mean, like, the big problem with Borderlands is I felt like nothing was particularly exciting.
Right.
For a game that feels like it should be more exciting than it is.
Yeah. I mean, because it was very much about progression. And because, see, I still love.
Loot. Don't forget the loot.
Yeah, I'm still one of those guys that I still love Hellgate London. And to me, those two games are one and the same. It just feels very, but Borderlands, I will say, was a lot more accessible to play, but it kind of gave me that same Diablo-esque buzz for both games.
Right, yeah.
It was good.
Oh, excuse me.
See, I don't think I'm much of a loot guy, because, like, I'm playing Amalur now, and once I find something that works, I stick with it forever.
Right.
Communist.
Like, I don't necessarily need better, just, this works fine now, so hooray. In Borderlands, if I have a good gun that I'm used to, I'm unlikely to switch it for something that I'm not used to.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that sense of discovering and loot and things like that, I can get from other types of games now, because I get that same thrill of finding a really hard loot drop in, like, Diablo. I can find it for finding a rare Pokemon. Like, it's that same, it's all evolved into the same nervous tick that I have, to where I'm like, I could go get Magic the Gathering cards! And, like, all of them all just combine into this big, like big stew of addiction.
You sicken me.
That's right.
So yeah, but so anyways, at this point, I would say that I am more excited for Borderlands 2 than I am for Mass Effect 3.
Let me ask this, because I noticed something in the trailer that apparently there is 4 single player like people and like Gears type, and apparently something resembling a storyline. I don't remember that being in the first game from looking on the outside. That
no, there were.
Yeah. Is that say like a continuation?
No, there were four characters slash archetypes that you could choose between. And it's the same in this one, although they're not the same characters.
Right.
Although seemingly,
though
from
they
the
basically
very
seem to be the same characters.
Yeah.
Right. Just, for the most, yeah.
Just like
different designs.
Out.
Well, and they might even. I'm sure the characters from the first game will make an appearance, because in the very beginning it shows Mordecai the hunter from the first game, like hopping off of a tower with his razor wing, which in my case was named Sprinkles.
Well done. Because he sprinkled death.
Damn right. Straight.
All right.
Speaking of dubstep, so while we take a break, I want to show you guys a Spider-Man trailer, which has like deceptive dubstep.
Oh,
is it the Rhino one?
Is it the Rhino one?
It is the Rhino one.
Okay. I need to
see deceptive this. Dubstep. Okay. That's a new dubstep genre. Let's take a dub break.
Yeah, we'll take a dub break, and we'll be back with more wub after this. Wub. Hey everybody, welcome back. It's episode 70 wub of
wub. Man, that was actually really good, Mark.
Not problem.
The thing about dubstep I saw is that whenever I see someone dancing to it, they'll be basically statuesque for most of the song, and then the drop happens and they just freak out.
Yeah, that gif of Skrillex when he's just like,
is Mark just opened a Werther's Originals?
No, I opened a bag of Cheetos. My apologies.
Oh, this is gonna be the best cast from this part on.
Is it really Cheetos?
It's totally Cheetos.
You have to eat one. I have to hear it.
All right, hang on a second.
Yeah, that's Cheetos.
Mm.
I can just tell by the slightly airy crisp.
God, it's so fucking good.
What were we talking about? Dubstep.
Yeah, we were talking about dubstep. But, I guess we can talk about what we've been playing over the past week. I know.
No, here's one thing I would, before we get past the dubstep conversation. Mm-hmm. At some point, these people could become aware of chiptunes. And the exact same thing's going to happen. We're going to hate chiptunes. Yeah. And I'm not sure I want to live in that future.
No.
Yeah.
I will never hate chiptunes. I will hate dubstep chiptunes, maybe. Pretentious dubstep chiptunes. And there are some chiptunes that I do not like.
That's true. They're like 45 minutes long and ridiculous.
I wonder if anyone's done a chiptune remix of Fish.
Fish and Chips.
Yeah, yes. That's too perfect. It has to exist.
It has to exist. If not, we're going to copyright it. We're going to copy.
Anyways.
But yeah, I know Brian and I have both been playing the Tribes Ascend open beta. And that's
it's pretty tribesy.
Yeah, that is a tribes-ass tribes game. And for those that haven't played Tribes before, it's an old school PC gaming shindig. It's kind of think Halo, but with better physics, and you can ski.
Are the levels still fucking enormous like the Eastern Tribes?
Yeah, absolutely.
They are.
And they have more hills. Like, they understand that it's basically just a giant box of hills. And basically what we mean by skiing is it's an old term for tribes where you could actually, I guess, what would it be? Deactivate the grip on your fists?
Think about being, you're playing a first-person shooter, but then you're also skating a half pipe.
Yeah.
And that's the way you would control your momentum. Like
this is the real skater die.
Right. Yeah. You can hold down spacebar to eliminate your friction, and then you're also equipped with a jetpack, a rocket pack. So thereby, it ends up being a lot of people just flying around the levels, kind of using the bowls to kind of slide in and pop out. And it's really fast, and it's hard as shit to shoot people.
Yeah, it really is, unless you're planning traps or you have a gravity bike, because they have vehicles as well. But yeah, the fastest way usually to get around a level is to ski, especially if you're good at it. It's a thing of wonder to see
something. I'm just going to say right now that this is going to make for the best segue into our next topic. But anyways, go on.
Awesome. But yeah, the weapons are really cool. My favorite weapon probably in the Tribes of Senbeta.
Spin Fuser.
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually really like the little pistolero grenade launcher thing. Like
that is pretty nice.
The little handgun, because that thing does a ton of damage, man.
Yeah, well, it's a really fast game and takes a lot of skill, because you're trying to do this whole skiing thing and control your momentum the whole time, trying to lead guys like your targets that are moving around just as fast and trying to shoot them. But yeah, the first game came out, whatever, it doesn't matter, a long time ago.
Like 94, probably.
And it was kind of, I want to say, like the first large-scale team-based multiplayer game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe.
I don't know. Did that predate Counter-Strike?
Pretty sure. Yes. Oh, yeah. Almost certainly.
Almost by a few years, I'd say.
So remember, it was like EQ, like the first EverQuest era, right?
Yes.
The Star Siege Tribes came out in 98.
And then Half-Life came out in 97. So,
but that was Starship Tribes. There didn't regular Tribes come out before that?
Yes.
Or was that the first one?
Or no, Starsiege Tribes was the first one.
Pretty Maybe
sure.
it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, anyways, but yeah, so it's large scale and the maps are big. But so they're kind of remaking it, and it's going to be free to play, right?
Yes. Is that the idea? As of right now, yeah, it's free to play, and I think the open beta is.
I wasn't sure if it was just a beta or what, but yeah, they do have an old kind of in-game monetization system, and as is par for the course for most multiplayer games nowadays, there is a leveling up system, and you can spend your XP to upgrade stuff or unlock new stuff.
Right.
But it's done very. Very smartly, very sharply. It's not like intrusive in your face.
Correct.
It's just like, hey, by the way, you can buy some gold if you want to.
Yeah, and the game itself is, I don't want to call the game basic, but there's so much you have to learn inside the game, like how to ski properly, how to, like what Brian was saying, how to lead your shots, that they can't overbear it with too many vehicles and weapons, because then you'd start just getting a headache because there's so much to look after. Like, oh God, now I have all 27 of these weapons plus all these like backwards physics, and you know, it would just get overbearing. But yeah, it's really, I think sharp is a really good word for it, because it knows what it wants to do and it does it really well.
It's done really very slickly.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna start a bunch of
different viscerally?
It's smart and slick.
Viscerally, is it done
visceral and slick? Yeah,
with a but it's,
is that satisfying?
It's very compelling. it's Hi-Rez Studios, so it's the same publishers that did like Global Agenda. So odds are it's going to be free to play, because Global Agenda went free to play and it has a lot of success that way. So
yeah,
but yeah, open beta. I think it's Tribes.
Go check it out. We're trying to get some game on together. Maybe we'll stream some or something. I don't know, but yeah, I will say one thing though. The levels, whereas like the rest of the presentation, you know, the in-game menus, the whole level up system. And even some of the weapons feel a little tweaked in the whole presentation as to be updated to kind of a quote-unquote modern game.
Right.
I haven't played all the levels, but as of right now, it doesn't feel like the levels have caught up to that. It still feels like late 90s levels.
Yeah, and I guess that's...
Or late 90s map design, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's just...
So it's just wide open?
Yeah, it's open and barren, but almost with the way the game is, you almost want it to be that.
Right. Well, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point, to have, you know, some of these wide open maps so you can do the whole scheme thing.
Isn't the whole thing about like a modern map design is like it's taken skew from like modern warfare?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's still different things of first-person shooters where, okay, you have your Unreal tournaments. You have, Modern Warfare's are kind of the deal, but basically
it's all cramped.
Yeah, that's basically hallways stacked on top of one another with a hole in between each hallway.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure there's some very smart design, but it still feels like they're just old levels ported over. Like, could be more that they are doing to it. I understand they want to kind of grab onto that nostalgia of people and kind of, make it more of a tribute, but... I think there is more they could be doing with the maps.
They're going to have the same situation like when they finally get around to creating Counter-Strike 2. Everybody's just going to play own Dust 2. So you might as well make the fucking maps like people
want
to
begin. Yeah, right. That's a very good point. I do.
That comparison could be made to a lot of games. Like with Left 4 Dead 2, we very often end up playing a lot of the Left 4 Dead 1 maps once they came through to Left 4 Dead 2.
Everybody plays the same Dota map, so it could be just like people just like a map, and there's a map that's good for a playstyle, and just
And this is different enough from other free to play things out there. It has that same kind of very immediate satisfaction, especially, and you can get immediate satisfaction not even by killing anyone on the other team. You can actually go, you can get on some turrets, you can. You could do some really cool stuff, and especially once you master how to ski, that in itself is a pretty good accomplishment, and that'll up your survivability by what.
And what's really nice in Tribe Descent, they've actually got a whole tutorial section that kind of teaches you how to ski, gives you a little playground to kind of see if you can maximize your height, and
there's
it gives you plenty of opportunity to learn and to play around.
Yeah, so it's not very it's not one of those that it throws you to the wolves. You have plenty of experience to go in there, or plenty of training grounds, and you have bot matches. I mean, it's really for everybody.
If you enjoy multiplayer, as far as free to play games go, this is really, really good. And it's Tribes, which is kind of a much loved IP.
Absolutely.
So go check it out. And speaking of skiing, or rather skiing's single boarded counterpart,
cooler talk about brother.
Snowboarding games.
Yeah.
Right, the cooler the single board brother.
That was strained.
Was it? Son of a bitch.
Single.
That
do
was
it better.
Way strange.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Fuck it, just get on out there. But,
Also, you kind of skipped over everybody else what they're playing.
You do it better.
Well, no, we're just talking about these two, because I think these are the two that we're going to, and then we'll kind of pass it on. Okay. But,
You make a Tribes SSX segue.
Yeah, but
you create something!
SSX comes out tomorrow, and I'm really tempted to actually go to, like, my 24-hour Walmart and buy it tonight.
I'm viscerally psyched for that game.
But SSX is one of those games, man, that I really have fond memories of. And it's not like it's a really old game. I mean, this is what, mid to late PlayStation 2 era for SSX 3, I guess. So.
Yeah, I skipped days of school to play SSX.
It's good.
So how the demo, like, perform? Does that feel like, SSX of yore, or?
Yeah. I think it does feel like SSX, but not whenever it comes to things like, because you can do things, you can grind rails. And what a lot of people think is they're going to get SSX and it's going to be a pretty hardcore simulation of snowboarding, which is definitely not the case. This is a theme park. You're going on a theme park ride.
It is completely over the top and just wacky and fun.
All the tricks you do, you'll do stuff like take the snowboard off of your feet and throw it ahead of you like a boomerang, and then like slingshot back towards it, and just crazy stuff. And they've added a squirrel suit, I think it's called.
Yes. So basically they've added like skydiving to the game.
Yeah. Which is nuts. I mean, some of your falls, I mean, a lot of times, you know, we talked about Tony Hawk a little bit during the break, or you talked about Skate and these type of different types of sports games. This is a type of sports game to where your jumps could last for 2 or 3 miles. Like, seriously, especially now since you can skydive. Like, it's just outlandish.
You can glide.
And there's different modes to where the mountain will change depending on how well you're doing. And there's an avalanche mode to where you dodge avalanches. It's just crazy stuff.
I was a little skeptical at first because from all the footage and media that I've been seeing, shown it as just basically mountain. I mean, just snow and mountains and rocks and stuff. Whereas one of the things I really loved about the older SSXs were that there's like, you know, there's like the city areas that you go through.
You go in between people's houses.
Crazy theme parks and shit. But it looks like they've kind of tactfully tied it in with like, you know, snowy villages or, you know, wrecked plains to actually give you some kind of other...
Yeah, kind of variety in what you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the coolest thing, and Mark, you actually brought up a good point that if you wanted to play a
racing, damn right I did.
Yeah, well, you wanted to play a racing game, so you wanted to control like a racing game. And I would say that the appeal of this as a racing game, I honestly don't like racing games, but the appeal to this as a racing game is the same reason why something like Jet Moto or where you're trying to find the best lines, because
it's, all, yeah, it's like a motorcycle game.
Yeah,
like a motorcycle
game. Pretty much. Yeah, it's based primarily on physics. So whenever you hit a jump a certain way, you're going to get a little extra boost, and then if you do a certain amount of tricks before you land, you get more boost. So it's all about kind of refraining during certain parts. You know, just like a classic, even a Forza, you know, there's certain turns that you could take going 80 miles an hour, but if you take it at 20 miles an hour, you can accelerate through that turn faster, so you actually end up making better time. Like, there's a lot of that component to SSX. And that's really rewarding, but I think my favorite thing and the thing I'm going to unlock first is the Explore mode. There's no points, there's no time limit, and you have...
Yeah,
you have the entire mountain. So you're talking each session could take you an hour and a half.
But I hope they do just as good with the soundtrack as they've done in the past, because that's always been one of the great things about the SSX games. They've had such great hits as Shake What Your Mama Gave You.
That's right. And they introduced me to NERD, Pharrell Williams and what's-his-face, Chad Hugo. And it was the first game, I think, with what's-his-name, DJ Atomica?
Yes, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
DJ Atomica here! Like, that was his first game, I think.
Yeah.
But
I think you're right.
It's a very good series.
So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up immediately. Like, I am a couple points away on my credit card from being able to get a $100 Amazon gift card, so I may wait until I have that in tow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it, and I've just been playing Tales of the Abyss 3DS, which is cool. But you're right.
Is that your first time playing it?
No, I played it on PS2, but it's funny that you always mention how much of assholes every character is, because it's really true. That game is just filled to the brim with assholes.
Which is a really weird...
Sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah.
Like, compared to every other Team Symphonia games, where everyone's, like, all happy, adventurous, everyone's, you know, enjoying being on this big journey. In Tales of Abyss, everyone's constantly complaining, and they all hate each other.
Yeah.
Just it's very realistic that
very
way.
Very bickering. Like, oh, I can't believe we have to take you along, goddamn. And then, yeah, like, it's just terrible, like, cynical. But the game itself is really fun. And, you know, I hear a lot of complaints about the 3D, but the 3D's okay. It's, you know.
I mean, it's revisionist 3D.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with it.
Yeah, it's like how...
It doesn't sound like it did that much anyway.
How good of the hallway can you make look 3D, you know? Well, my character's way back here, and this is way up front here. Ta-da!
Of course, the problem with that Tales of the Abyss 3D is that you can't really convince anyone to buy it at this point, because you can't buy it at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they printed, like, I think 10,000 copies.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. And then they wonder why the Tales series doesn't sell very well in America. But that's a whole other topic. But
there's one coming out next month, and nobody knows about it.
Yep. No marketing, nothing, man. Namco's just shooting itself in the foot. But they're really good at that. But
they did not launch the Vita with a Ridge Racer, which, I mean, in America at least.
Well, apparently there's like a huge backlash of the Japanese version because it's such a clusterfuck.
Yeah, but do they care? It seems like the kind of thing that they would just be like, whatever, it's fucking Ridge Racer.
Yeah. It's like, you bought it.
Those assholes don't buy anything. They bought a Vita.
That's true, man.
Ugh. Which mine has still not come yet. Because that's the lowest possible shipping.
Part of the problem.
3 to 4 months shipping.
By that point, it should have some games.
Right, they just package
right,
it.
There you go. Days smart well, thinking, yeah. Imran.
The good news is you'll still be within the launch window, so technically you'll still have a launch system.
Yeah.
Launch window has expanded far too long. Like, for 3DS last year, they were like, up until E3. That's not launch window. That's fucking half a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the 360 was to blame for this bullshit, because I remember getting a launch 360 and said, oh, we're going to get some games in the launch window. So, but it launched with like Project Perfect Gotham Dark 3.
Cameo.
Yeah.
Is it? But Dead Alive 4 will be a launch window game. It's like, nah, if I can't walk away with it, it's not a fucking launch game. Don't tell me about the launch window, you scumbags.
They're apparently working on a new Project Gotham.
What's that?
They're apparently working on a new Project Gotham.
Ooh. Who is? Because Bizarre's gone.
I'm guessing it's being outsourced to somebody. But some guy who owns a rare classic car said Microsoft has approached him about recording audio from it for a new Project Gotham game.
Huh. Maybe he's just confused, because that's something Turn 10 would have to do for Forza.
Yeah.
Maybe Turn 10's making a new one. But I guess Project Gotham is a launch tradition, so if they're making one for a new Xbox, that would make sense.
Hmm, yeah. Because we're getting there. They're also having that Unreal Development Kit 4 thing that Matt Pierce put an awesome article on the website about.
Yeah, read that title for us, Wes.
Oh, yeah, let me bring it up real quick. Next month, people who aren't you will see a thing they can't tell you about. And it shows Unreal Tech 4.
Shattered Point Light Reflections.
So yeah, now I can kind of understand why PA is so frustrated. Penny Arcade is so frustrated with all the video game reporting out there, because that was basically them putting a press release up and calling it a day.
Yeah.
Without thinking, does anyone give a shit?
Yeah.
Also, hot scoop, there's going to be an Unreal Engine. There's going to be an Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
You heard it here.
We already knew there was Unreal Engine 4. The only reason why Epic probably sent out that press release is to tell the press, you know, back off, you're not going to get to see it.
Yeah,
but true.
Why do we care?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, then don't tell anyone about it. Oh, yeah.
Well, they've got to hype it up, I think. They've got to give people reasons to move on from UE3 to UE4. Because if the difference is just using better assets, they can do that on their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they are showing it behind closed doors to developers. That's what the press release was all about. So they're going to get developers to start moving over.
I think they want regular people to know there's an Unreal Engine 4 and investors to know there's an Unreal Engine 4 so they can pressure other game developers into using it.
I think at this point, though, they're just trying to stave off any articles saying that it was conspicuously absent from GDC.
Yeah.
It's like it's not absent. You weren't on the list. Too bad.
There's a rumor that Crytek is showing off some version of CryEngine on the Wii U at GDC.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a pretty credible rumor, so.
That wouldn't surprise.
Might be possible that, like, maybe, like, Unreal can, if they put this out there, they can, might be able to pressure, like, Microsoft and Sony to move faster on their new hardware. Like, they can tell them, like, hey, people are actually developing stuff with this. You guys need to get on the fucking program.
Especially if it works on the Wii U and doesn't work on the 360 or PS3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Apparently, a couple of developers, Western developers who do graphics programming, got access to the Wii U, and the thing they're saying about it is it's not necessarily any faster, but it's got double the memory of an Xbox 360.
It's about a gig.
Yeah, and it's the same shared architecture, so you can just pack it with textures.
This is the annoying part of console transitions, where we're using, like, numbers that mean nothing.
Right.
Like, not what you said, but, like, IGN had an article that was like, oh, Wii U is 5 times faster than 360, but the Xbox 3 is 6 times faster. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah,
it's probably just based on clock speed, but it has no respect for architectures or pipeline bandwidth or anything like that. It's just, we saw a megahertz number, and we saw a different megahertz number, and then we pulled out a calculator.
Yeah, and then
I'd just like to take a quick moment to thank our sponsors for today's audio quality, Mark Bradshaw and Cheetos.
Not a problem, guys.
Yeah, but that's also going to fuel the flame on the IGN boards about, like, well, the Wii U version of Crysis is better because you can see this guy's scar. Well, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to have the textures are not compressed no more. So look how much better it looks. It's like, I don't care. I think we're all at the age bracket now to where we don't give a shit.
I think we're actually going to end up hitting diminishing returns pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next generation, I can't imagine it's going to be such a big leap that we're not going to go, you know, this looks a lot like what we just played on 360.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know, I completely agree with you.
If we're looking at stuff that looks like that, the picture that that was put up by Matt, that's a significant upgrade than what we're doing right now. I mean,
well, that's their engine demo, and engine demos are always way better than actual games because they have all of the memory of your video card, and all of the storage space that they're pulling together is just to render one scene.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the whole block of that city block is going to look that good.
Right. But to be fair, usually, I know whenever we first saw Unreal Engine 3 footage, like the stuff they did right before Gears of War 1 came out, about like, here's the Gollum troll in the wet brick building, you know, just all this nonsense just to show off how shiny stuff could be. But now we're kind of at that point visually, right? I mean, we kind of met it at the end of the cycle. So, I mean, if this is what we can look forward to the end of next cycle, I'm pretty stoked. Like, that looks really good.
I mean, in fairness, like, even that picture that Matt posted, that looks nice, but it's not noticeably better than I would, like, Splinter Cell kind of hit the same kind of look occasionally.
Yeah.
L.A. Noire kind of hit the same kind of look. Like, GTA with Ice Enhancer looks pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I can't agree with that at all. I mean, I can't think of anything that looks like the. You get to the second picture with the geometry of the gun. I mean, that's just that.
When you see that Unreal Engine 4 demo in motion, there's way more going on in there than any current game.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the Unreal. What I'm saying, talking about real time. Like, you can see this in the screenshots, but actual, like, the video of that, it's probably not going to look that good on an actual console if they were running it off of that.
Right. But I see
what development PC.
I think the main difference is there's a lot of optical illusions that developers are doing right now as far as, like, lens flares and, you know, shadows and certain things that they could actually do in real time with the next set of tech. Which will make a difference, because, I mean, kind of a good example is Far Cry 2. Far Cry 2, if you have it set on Ultra, each individual blade of grass casts its own shadow. And that doesn't seem like it'd be a big deal, but once you're walking around in that shit, that is mind-blowing. And you're looking around, and that's stuff we're doing this generation. Okay, sure, we've only done it with, like, two games this generation, but...
Kind of we're doing this generation. We're not doing this console generation. We might be doing, like, this PC generation.
Right.
PCs don't necessarily have generations.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we can play the first Wing Commander right now. So, I mean, and that came out, you know...
Unless we want to talk, like DirectX 11, maybe?
Is right, graphics. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. But basically, yeah, this is just all hardware revisions anyway. It's just going to be to give companies more options. But the only thing is they're going to use it for the same stuff they always have. You know,
yeah. The Wii U is how I know I've become an old man. Like, I'm looking forward to it so that, like, when my wife wants to take over the TV, I can switch over to the remote.
Right. Yeah.
Those are the features. Those are the killer features.
I'm hoping they get more functionality. I guess is kind of where we have to be headed because graphics can only go so far.
Well, at this point, I'm kind of like, I will get new systems because I always get new systems, and that's where they're going to be releasing games in the future. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm particularly, I need that graphical bump or whatever.
Well, right. You just have to follow, if you like.
Like, if I want to play whatever Gears of War prequel trilogy People Can Fly is making in 2014, I'm going to need Xbox 3.
Right.
But, I mean, it could also be on the regular, on the 360, and I wouldn't care that much.
Yeah.
Bulletstorm looked fine to me.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy a game. I think I'm past the point that I'm going to go out and buy a game because of how it looks. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. I just these feel like the same things I've said, like, every generation that has come up. You know, when I saw, like, the Neo Geo, like, with its for its time, insanely high resolution. I look in our case, oh, Jesus Christ, this is incredible. We're never going to get this good.
Right.
And then, like, it just keeps getting better. You know, I saw Virtua Fighter, and it's like, holy shit, we finally got things in 3D. We're not going to get any better than this. And sure enough, it looks way better.
It's not going to get any better. It just, I don't care anymore.
Right, exactly. That's the more important part, is how do you get people to care about the games that you're making after all the bells and whistles are gone?
Well, that's the job of the developers. I mean, you have to be able to trust the developers. Say, okay, we're going to give you guys this new hardware. You could do more stuff with them. Let's see where your ideas go.
Right,
from
and which is
and every generation we have seen new genres pop up. Yeah. I mean, sure, stuff like COD4, Modern Warfare still dominate that shit, and that was stuff possible in Doom. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But we have seen new stuff come up.
Yeah,
and
what have we really seen that was not possible beforehand? There's Dead Rising
online. Any of the really big online stuff is, hey, theoretically you could have done it on the Xbox, but it's not really hardware dependent though.
Well, it's infrastructure.
Having the broadband infrastructure and everyone having access to these systems is a big deal.
I think we've made a bunch of refinements, but I wouldn't case it as revolutions per se.
Well, yeah, but that's what we're now at the point in technology where everything's iterative, so we're gonna see games come out, yeah, sure, that look better, but what are the core mechanics behind the game? I think that's going to be where the major differences lie. Not, oh, this uses 8 processors instead of 4. Like, that won't really matter. But where it will matter, and like someone said, you could make Call of Duty 4 in the Doom engine. It's just going, the reason why it was such a big hit is the technology caused people to think differently. It's like, okay, now I'm going to have a level up system in my first person shooter. And it's something as basic as that. Whenever new technology comes out, that's whenever all these creators start thinking, okay, sure, it looks great. Sure, it's easier to use. Sure, it's easier to get assets in. But how can we use this?
See, but the thing is, I don't think they ever, like, realize the potential of that. Like, an example of this is Uncharted 3. When that game was coming out, Naughty Dog would talk up things like, oh, the fire actually looks for virtual oxygen to spread. Mm. And that game was crap.
Right.
Like, Uncharted 2 was better despite being technologically inferior.
Well, right. And I mean,
well, was it technologically inferior? Because, I mean, it wasn't hardware inferior. I mean, it was using the same stuff.
It was, they did not have the know-how to optimize the game that they did with Uncharted 3.
Well, right. And
do you think you could take a look at Uncharted 3 and put that on PlayStation 2?
No, you probably couldn't put that exact game, but you could.
Would it be the same if you had to take a significant knock in graphical fidelity, and then you don't have the cinematic view, you don't have the refinements? Do you think that remains the same game?
Would it be the same game or the same gameplay?
That's a good, because I think I know where you're going, Imran, and it's one of those things that, do you think it's the fault of the technology that Naughty Dog caught up in? Well, now the fire can look for oxygen. It's like, that doesn't fucking mean anything. That's pointless. That type of technology doesn't mean anything. Does it add to the game?
Well, it's kind of hard to make a point, though, with it being the third in a trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, of course the gameplay is not going to change that much from Uncharted 2 to Uncharted 3. They've got a successful formula. They're not willing to change that.
Right. And so, I mean, but you could also say, at least they could have, what if they made Uncharted 3 as good as Uncharted 2, but 2 times longer? Because they, instead of worrying about the technology of how the fire looks for oxygen, they could have added more content.
The thing is, we say this every generation. We say that, oh, they're going to finally improve physics and AI, and that's going to be the big thing. And the only game this generation that's done anything really interesting with physics are Portal, which is primarily a PC game, and Boom Blocks, which is for the Wii.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I mean, that's what I mean. Like, people are going to think differently.
At the same point, the physics stuff was shoved into every game to the game's detriment.
Well, yeah, Havoc. Havoc Engine was in freaking wrestling games.
What was the thing in GTA? Euphoria.
Yeah,
that
Euphoria
was it.
Engine. Yeah.
Where you just, like, drag a guy by his sleeve down the road. Which was interesting the first 6 times it happened, and less interesting the next 700.
It did cause for some funny shit, especially if you were drunk. Like, that was hilarious. But yeah, I think we are kind of at that crossroads to where the technology visually, sure, it can be stimulating, but what is the technology going to aid for these creators?
Well, I'm not saying it's not going to benefit anything. It's clearly going to offer a lot of benefits, The thing is, if they went without those benefits for another 3, 4, 5 years, I'm sure I'd notice and I'd complain, but I'm not sure it would make that big a difference in the grand scheme of the industry.
Yeah, that's fair, because they would only stick to a certain amount of guns. You know, you're not going to have someone literally reinvent the way video games are made or played just because we did a technological leap.
Well, the first 3 years of a new system are pretty basic anyway.
Yeah.
That's there. We're still learning this whole thing.
Right.
That's why Assassin's Creed was crap, but Assassin's Creed 2 was amazing.
Yeah.
And why every Vita game makes you use the touchscreen, whether you want to or not.
Yeah. Unzip Drake, unzip Nathan Drake's pants. And you're like, All right.
There, just a side on that, I got to try Wipeout for the Vita in the store, and there are menus in there where there's literally just go forward or go back. Those are the only options. Instead of mapping them to X and O like you would normally on a PlayStation, you have to hit forward or back.
Oh. Yeah, it's...
That was a dumb thing the 3DS was doing for a while, where you had to hit OK on the touchscreen. Like, you couldn't press the A button.
Oh, right.
And they fixed that in a firmware update. But it sounds like Sony's still trying to work that thing out because they're Sony and they don't understand UIs very well.
But let's see. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and see what everyone else has been playing. We'll do that. But yeah, that's a good convo about some of that there Unreal Engine and our new future overlords of technology.
Expert, the highly exalted, I exercise dance floors, leave them exhausted. Exploring apex sound, expedition filled with excess demons, y'all can bring the exorcism. I exert stress when I export beats that accelerate the hard and exterminate the weak. Execution level next, no way to explain it. I'm XXX, bitch, triple X rated.
All right, we're in the fourth quarter, we're in the home stretch,
technically we're in the third period.
I see what you did there, Mark Bradshaw.
Yeah.
My God. All right, episode 75. Let's see. I talked about what I did. Brian, did you have anything else you were playing?
No, pretty much just tribes.
Cool.
Not much else.
And let's see, Mark Bradshaw, what have you been playing, sir?
Well, I went ahead and got hold of the SXX demo and the binary domain demos so I could talk about them somewhat competently in Wall Abuse. And the thing about Wall Abuse, what I'm doing right now, I'm doing this thing where I open up the document, I look at it for a little bit, say, yep, I need to do this thing, then I go to another tab, then like 10 minutes later I open up the tab again and say, yep, I still need to do that thing, then I go back and open another tab. And so that's what I've been doing. Binary domain is kind of stiff and awful, and that's a shame. It's really complicated for what it is. I finished up the El Shaddai thing, which took a while.
Yeah.
So that was basically my weekend, just finishing that up and basically opening up the Wall Abuse tab, looking at it, closing again. Because I know if I turn on the 360 on my PlayStation and actually start playing any games, there's still like a work on the table. I'll feel enormously guilty.
Right.
So I can't do it. It's just like so this is like preventing me from like doing anything else with my life. This fucking thing just, and it's done. That's the thing that gets me about this. It's fucking done. I just need to like put two or three paragraphs together at the intro. It's done. It's just taunting me. I don't know what to do. So that's been my week.
Awesome. Did you play any of the SSX demo?
Yeah, I played the SXX demo. I decided that if a game feels like a racing game, then I think it should fucking control like a racing game.
Right.
I shouldn't have to worry about my head going to a snowdrift. Yeah. And the bit at the beginning where you're just sitting there and just doing tricks, and it's like enormously complicated because, you're going to grab it with your left hand. Oh, look, you just grabbed it with your one left hand on the right side of your board. So, okay. Notice, you used your right hand to grab the top of the board. You just used one hand. Oh, okay, how do I put this together? And the way I put it together was just start flailing around on both sticks. Yeah, this looks pretty cool. Until such point in time as I can use the triggers. And it's like, all right, great. I guess I maxed that out. Now we're going to go to the grinding section, which is kind of dumb because it's just not continuous. You think you just like go into the suit and land and start grinding on shit. No, you go into the suit and then the helicopter lands you again. And then you start grinding.
I think
this is so fucking dumb.
Yeah, I think the thing is that demo is almost intrusive. You know what I mean? Because basically it's like, all right, tutorial time. Now you're gonna fly down for 15 minutes and hit this button to do this. All right, you did it. Do it again, and you keep doing it. And you're like, fuck! I just want to snowboard.
Why am I doing this thing in the first part? Why is not it in the same part of the game?
Right.
You know why is this? Is like two separate games that they put together, and the first part sucks terribly bad, and the second part seems like it might be all right if I get my head around this idea of snowboarding, but the first part is just dumb. Did SSX do this before?
Not that type of tutorializing.
That's why
I've only played the demo once, and I played it enough to be like, yep, this is SSX, I'm going to buy it. That's all I needed. I just needed a reaffirmation that it played the same as the old ones do, and it does. But
so at the old SSX games, you start off in like a helicopter that you fall out of?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the only...
Some do.
Yeah, some do. I mean, or you can start off in a lodge. But the cool thing about it is it's almost...
That seems a lot better.
It's almost a free ride thing, especially in SSX 3. You could kind of go around and pick your things. If you see a race, you could just pass it. You could just snowboard past them and be like, see you, bitches! And then snowboard past them and then go to a trick event if you want to feel like doing tricks.
Oh, so it's like Burnout Paradise.
Exactly. It's exactly because EA Sports Big, that same, I think the same exact team did Burnout Paradise.
Okay.
So if you like that type of game of Burnout Paradise, this is that with a snowboard on a snowy mountain.
I think I just like it like a lot better if we just got rid of the, or at least like integrate the two, not just like, okay, there's going to be a jump and like a break in the middle. It's like, why can't I just like paraglide and then land and then just that one smooth thing? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, well, you probably could in explore mode, but like whenever it's a tutorial, it's like you better do it right or you gotta do it
over. I guess
that's silly, but
yeah, I just don't like the tricks, basically.
Right.
In the descent thing where you're just falling down for like 5 minutes.
That's all new, and I think that's just all the tutorial to make sure. Here's how you hold your controller. Like, don't put it in your mouth. Like those type of tutorials.
Ah, but it works.
But cool. Anything else?
Just like the binary domain. Oh, I did finish push mode today. Finally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, well, pretty good. Y'all need to buy Pushmo.
Get some Pushmo action. All right, Imran Khan, what have you been playing?
Mostly just Amalur.
Yeah, okay. I do have a question about Amalur. Is how many side quests are there? Because it seems like
I have 59 unfinished side quests. I have finished 75 of them.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you have any intention of completing any of those side quests?
No, I just take them because I want to get an exclamation mark off my mini-map.
Okay.
Man.
But it's like, there's basically three tiers of quests, I guess. There's the find, like, 9 of these, kill 9 of these, blah, 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 whatever the fuck MMO quests they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Then there's the faction quests, which are interesting, which are the basic equivalent of Elder Scrolls guild quests. Then there's the main quest, which are boring and I don't care about, but I have to do to get to the faction quest.
Right.
And to this game's credit, the faction quests, they acknowledge when you've completed them. People around the world will be like, oh, you're the new queen of the House of Balance. I'd be like, fuck yeah, I am.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So it's interesting that they'll do that, even though it really doesn't matter, because then they'll immediately then ask you to fill 9 of these bottles.
Oh, Chicken Chaser, do this.
Yeah. It's like, I just happen to be the leader of the House of Ballads, the leader of the Travelers, and the Archmage of our School of Arcana. But whatever, I'll do your menial quest for you.
Well, we really need those carrots, so could you go get them for us?
And that's pretty much it. Like, don't do most of the quests in that game, and it's pretty enjoyable. But they should have just made better quests.
Yeah.
It seems like these games need a flag where you just, like, turn off, like, finding new side quests. So you're not in danger, like, talking to some asshole, and he gives you a side quest. And then your life is ruined. So you don't feel in danger of just talking to NPCs. Just have a little button where you can hit, and no side quests pop up. Just
everyone who has a quest has an exclamation mark over their head. But I would say, like, let's just say there's 1,000 people in there. I'd say probably 700 of them have quests.
Dude, Jesus. Man, do they do that thing in RPGs? MMOs aren't so bad about it anymore. But what it used to be, and this actually used to be for any type of RPG, they would give you the quest very passive-aggressively. Like, you'd walk up, and you'd be like, hey, man, I heard you need some help. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's these bears, and they've killed 1 billion people. And I need you to go kill the bears, because they're just really a nuisance. And you're like, I don't know if I can, like, I knew you'd understand.
Yeah.
You're the best. Just go and just come on back. You're doing great. Trying to get
killed. Yeah.
I mean, there's some stuff like that, but usually you agree to a quest.
Right.
But at that point, like, there's one guy that you meet him outside of town, and there's an effect in the game called bleeding, which is basically, in battle, it's the sprite blood coming out of you and just gushing out. And that's okay in battle, because the camera's zoomed out and things are moving really fast, but they wanted to show him wounded, so we just got this, like, sprite blood gushing out of him as he's moaning along. And he's saying, okay, my partner stole my amulet from me, go do this, like, solve this problem and bring the amulet back to me. You get the amulet, uncurse it, bring it back to him. But the game has an in-game time system, so it's been about 20 days since that happened, and he's still wandering around moaning and screaming and bleeding.
Bleeding. Could you get my amulet? I'm really hurt. I don't think I can get it.
I gave it back to him, but he's still, like, seek some medical attention or something.
Oh,
and this game has this weird thing where, like, when you're done talking to somebody, based on their personality, probably they have, like, a message, like, you leave them be like, they'll be goodbye, or piss off, or what are you looking at? And it always comes across super weird, because sometimes I'll be traveling with someone, and I'll be walking right alongside them, and I'll accidentally hit A and talk to them, and we'll be like, okay, well, let's keep going. And it'll be like, goodbye, or I just saved someone's life. And be like, okay, now we're free to go. And they'll be like, piss off.
They just pick one to get the fuck out of my face.
Mind your fucking business.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint with this game is I don't know how nobody taught them that this was a wrong thing to do, but when you finish a dungeon, very often you just have to walk out the way you came in.
Oh. Sometimes
they'll respawn new enemies.
Huh.
Like, give me the ability to fast travel, just put up a dialogue box that says, do you want to leave? Make a fake door that leads back to the ending or entrance. Just whatever. I do not want to have to walk back out of here. This game sucks so much at denouements. It does not know what to do after a climax or something. Like I said, I got to be the archsage of the Scolia Arcana. And right after I do that, nobody really mentions it. They're like, well, you're the new archsage, so
help me find my chicken.
Gets his conversation is over. Whatever. And then that's it.
They're like, piss off. Fucking art siege.
I wonder if that has anything to do with, like, its MMO roots, where you couldn't really have people just, like, leaving a dungeon, like, in the middle of MMO. Because
probably. Or,
yeah, because you fuck over your teammates. So I wonder if that's something to do with it.
Yeah, I do wonder if this game is, like, a demo for an MMO, or just part of an MMO, or whatever, but in everything but combat, it's exactly just an MMO.
It is an MMO.
It's really pretty, I'll give it that. Like, anytime you're somewhere where there's grass, it looks really nice. And I meant a better change than Skyrim's really gray, dark worlds.
Yeah.
But I would not recommend this game for $60.
Mm.
It's too bogged down in its own minutia.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just, like, sit down and say, look, I'm gonna just complete the main quest lines, just be done with it. Maybe even do the faction quest stuff. How much game do you think's there? Like 20 hours?
I've put about 20 hours into it, and I haven't finished all the faction quests.
Okay, but you haven't gone through either way to do the to fill up the game either. Like
I'll do some quests when I feel like I need some distraction, some palate cleansing, whatever.
Okay.
but I most like, for the most part, I don't do most of that stuff. Also, the game is very, very breakable, to the point where people have stopped playing if they don't make a patch that makes hard mode harder.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Because basically, like, you overlevel yourself with the game is just completely...
It's not even that. Right? I'm half the level cap, but what I did is I crafted gems that give me regeneration, and they stack.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a point where I got caught in the corner fighting a boss, and the boss couldn't kill me fast enough, so I had to reload.
That type of stuff's been in some classic RPGs, though, like that video of Morrowind, where that guy at the very beginning of the game just uses all of his money to buy these, I think, agility potions or something, and also his arcane magic potions. He's a level one, and he can go and beat the game in about 20 seconds, because what he does is he just drinks all the arcane and drinks all the agility so he can fly, and he fucking jumps like Superman over the entire world. He just lands at the very end of the mountain, and he's like, hi.
It's like, I'm playing a rogue, which logically should not be able to take that many hits. But by the time somebody gets a second hit on me, I've already recovered all my health.
Oh, wow.
And that's, like, I'm still using starting armor, but I'm using it because it has a lot of, like, utility slots for me to put in gems.
Hmm.
So the game is, like, they didn't balance it well at all. So if you're looking for a challenge, this is not the kind of game that you should go into.
Interesting.
But, yeah, after I finish this, which I'm hoping to finish soon, because I'm going to get the last faction quest, then just finish off the main story, I'll probably look into finding Syndicate somewhere.
Yeah, I want to play it, but I don't know how badly I want to play it, if that makes sense.
I don't want to play it enough to put in Origin, so I'm thinking I might have to relent and get a console version.
Yeah.
I wonder if Syndicate's going to wind up like this year's Metroid 2033, or like Singularity. Where, yeah, people just completely ignored it and winds up being like this kind of
cult,
amazing,
yeah,
like experience.
Cult classic type of deal.
Yeah.
Or it could be like this year's Dead Space where EA just sent it out to die.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
It's remarkably well somehow.
It's like, I'll get it on Origin when it's $30 in 3 months. I just have that feeling that they're just going to oversaturate this and no one's going to pull the trigger on it. Then no one's going to be like, well, yeah, Syndicate was pretty cool, I guess. But nobody's really elated to play it. So then it gets its little hype, because I don't even know a lot of people talking about Syndicate right now, and it came out last week.
Yeah.
The problem was putting it on Origin. I 100% blame it on that, because that is a game that would probably get a lot of hype if there was a Steam demo.
Yeah.
And it came out on there where people were, they wouldn't even wait for sales. They would buy it
right
straight out.
Because the same thing happened with Amalur. It's funny because it's an EA game, and if you buy it on Steam, you cannot use your CD key to put it on your Origin library.
That's because the deal they cut with EA is they can publish it anywhere they want, but they still have to use an EA account when you're actually signing into the game.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so SXX, like, wants that even for like the demo.
Yeah. For EA accounts are dumb.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Mass Effect 3 is going to have the same problem. Mm-hmm. It's not going to sell as well because it's only on Origin.
Yeah.
Which I feel it's maybe it's hypocritical for me, because I have no problem with Valve doing this with Portal or Left 4 Dead or whatever, but I do have a problem with EA doing it. But also, I like Valve. So I don't care if that's hypocritical.
Well, Valve does it... I guess Valve's not malicious whenever it comes to it.
Yeah. I can trust Valve is not going to screw me out of my game somehow.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, like, the whole, like, Origin Valve thing, just, it's one, like, corporation and another. It seems to me, I don't have a horse in the race, it seems like, you know, people have decided to pick Target over Walmart. So,
well, yeah, that's a fair comparison. I mean, the reason why I will always pick Valve over EA is Gabe Newell is smart enough to actually understand why Steam was so successful.
Yeah, I don't think he's like particularly an altruistic person,
yeah,
but he understands that you have to be good customer service.
Yes. He's
to
like,
make money.
He's like, there's a reason why games don't sell in Russia, and it's not because there's too much piracy, it's because there's no support. He was like,
did you know someone tried to kill Vladimir Putin?
What?
They unfoiled a... they foiled a assassination plot.
I don't know. It's hard to tell if they did or not because you know how the media operates over there.
Everything you're up, it's a lie anyway. But
yeah, so it's hard to tell if like that's just like a story that's been drummed up to like garner sympathy for him ahead of the election. So
what they should have done is made up a story where he foiled the plot himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just went and punched the assassin right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, now I really want that as part of like a modern day Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Like that's just how Assassin's Creed 3 ends. Like Putin just punches Desmond in the face.
And then he takes the animus back to Russia. There's just a Russian choir chanting in the background as this happens.
That would explain why his face changes every game. Because Putin just keeps punching him.
Brilliant. All right. And Matt Pierce, what have you been playing, sir?
Well, this weekend, since I've been playing the same stuff over and over, I tried out a bunch of demos.
Yeah.
Specifically stuff I wouldn't normally play, just to get some variety. And then out of those, I ended up actually buying Final Fantasy XIII, too.
See? Like, that demo sold me as well. Because I hated 13, brother. I hated it.
Well, here's the thing.
What is wrong with you people? This is
I have hated every JRPG I've ever played. Every single one. The only RPG of any kind, or any Japanese RPG of any kind I've ever come close to finishing was Shining Force 2.
Oh, wow.
Good game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not exactly the standard for the genre.
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
Did you try in the Persona stuff?
No. I've once I didn't catch on to it back in the 16-bit era, I just kind of stayed away from it.
Okay.
I flirted with playing other Final Fantasy games over the past decade or so, and it always ends up with me going to like Final Fantasy VII because everyone says it's great, and then getting bored inside of an hour.
Final Fantasy VII's kind of overrated.
It was fine at the time, and if you were 13.
Yeah.
It was an enormous letdown from 6. That's the reason I just hate it. It's just like everything was simplified
with
6.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, you're a monster.
Well, no, because it is such a... Those games are so slow nowadays anyway. Like, all of them. Even, I love Star Ocean and Breath of Fire. Those games are slow as shit compared to the stuff we have nowadays.
But, are any of you playing Final Fantasy 13 too?
Yes, sir.
I find it amazing that I'm the only one that likes Final Fantasy and likes 13. But I haven't played this game yet.
See,
definitely get the demo if you haven't done it, because it's pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm actually curious as to what your thoughts would be on it, Imran, just for that exact reason, is you didn't mind 13.
I'm assuming the game's going to price collapse fast.
Yeah,
so
it will. They've printed too many copies, but I'm actually glad that you bought it, Matt. Like, how far are you into it?
Just entering the first time gate.
Time gate? Good deal. Yeah.
Time gate.
Can I just tell you, though, the intro in Valhalla, which is, you know, the first 5 seconds of the game, so I'm not spoiling anything here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just kept making me think of Elantris, the book by Brandon Sanderson. Just because there's these people who live forever in a mystical city, and one of them is dissolving in an ocean, and that's the only way for her to get escape. It's like, this is really,
oh, shit.
Really on the nose.
Yeah. It should be somewhere in the credits, like, yeah, as an inspired play. But yeah, like, how do you like the mechanics and stuff of it? Because that's the stuff that I really enjoy about the game as opposed to 13.
Well, this is the thing I'm wondering. I'm liking the battle mechanics, and I wonder if it's only because I watched a Giant Bomb quick look where they explain what everything means.
Right.
I mean, normally I get into these games, and I'm about half an hour in, and I'm lost.
Yeah.
But the demo came with a really expansive tutorial, and watching someone who knows what they're doing play it for half an hour makes it all a lot more easy to play.
Right.
But I'm liking the battle mechanics. I like that you're not micromanaging. You're setting up a strategy and then having your players execute it.
Right.
But I'm hating random encounters. Everything is tedious because everywhere you go, you're running into something.
Yeah, and
that's a JRPG.
They switched 13 to random encounters.
Well, no, you still see the characters on the field. The only thing is, you unlock a lot more stuff a lot quicker than you would in 13. So I think the thing that's tedious, and I sort of agree, is there are some battles that will last 3 seconds.
Yeah.
That the loading screen to get into the battle is longer than the battle, and then the loading screen to get out of the battle is longer than both of those.
That should never happen. Yeah. That's been an issue ever since like they started putting these things on discs.
And yet somehow you won't 5-star the battle.
Yeah,
you you killed all the enemies in one shot and you still got like 1-star.
Yeah. All that stuff's still silly. But
yeah, I don't like 13's ranking system made literally no sense. I don't think they knew how it worked. It was just like, whatever, this took 5 minutes. 5 stars.
Yeah. Enjoy. And then all it did was get you an extra potion or something. It didn't even really... I don't really think the stars did anything.
Well, at least in this one, if you 5-star a battle, you get a 200% chance of a rare item drop and 200% chance of a drop at all.
Yeah.
So there are minor battles I'm winning and then ending up with a Phoenix down and 9 potions.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh, I killed 2 ants. Okay.
Perfect.
But, strange that they didn't use the Phoenix Stone.
But I'm having a hard time with the idea that they're mixing places where you talk to people with places where enemies will spawn. Like having those be the same places is kind of frustrating because you go to hit X to talk to someone, but an enemy spawns right before you hit the button.
Oh right, yeah, I know what you mean. Especially you're out right after that first time gate, because there's other, I wouldn't call them adventurers in there with you, but it's just random people hanging out, and you're like, what are you guys doing here?
But no, I'm enjoying it. I'm not far in, but it's pretty good. Also, of the demos, I tried Mass Effect 3, which is pretty much what I expected after playing Mass Effect 2. It's really dark, though, and the audio quality is pretty bad. So unless you have, like, a decent TV and a decent sound system, it's going to be hard to play.
This is what I'm afraid of, because my, like, system is set in front of a window, so I think it might be fucked. I'm talking about drapes, finally.
Yeah, I had to either draw my blinds or wait for nightfall, or else I couldn't make it through the demo. Rayman Origins was fun, but it looks like it's really only fun once you memorize the levels enough to run through them. Like, if you still don't know what's going to happen next, you're just tripping over yourself over and over again.
Suppose the Sonic theory of platforming.
Yeah, it's once you've got it memorized and you're pulling off stuff that blows people's minds, it's a lot of fun. And I tried El Shaddai again. Now that I understand that it's a rock-paper-scissors game, it makes a lot more sense.
All right, but, I'm glad it influenced someone in this. Cool.
But I still am not going to buy it ever.
That's too bad.
Looking at the screen trying to figure out if something is a pit or a puddle.
Yeah, that's the specific issue with that demo that doesn't come up with any other level in that fucking game. I don't understand why they even happen.
Then you get to the side-scrolling part, and it's like, can I jump on this cloud? What about that cloud?
You can jump on all the clouds, just you don't jump on
ones that swirl, but you can't jump on the other ones.
Well, yeah, of course. That just makes sense. And what were you thinking? You don't understand his artistic vision, man.
No.
It's not for you.
But yeah, that's pretty much how I spent my weekend.
Nice. Good deal. But yeah, we're about to come on that time of gaming tour. We have monster releases weeks after one another. It's going to be November all over again.
Actually, I think we're pretty good this spring.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a couple of things in March. By, like, a couple, I mean everything.
Yeah.
Then it cools down until at least E3.
I think just the whole stupid summer thing where, like, nobody releases shit during the summer.
Yeah. I think that, well, isn't, like, Ghost Recon coming out in May and Max Payne's coming out in May?
Well, Rockstar does their own thing. Yeah. They are not limited by silly Gregorian calendars.
they are not impressed with y'all. Gumpy Mayan tradition.
Actually, Max Payne actually released last week. You guys just aren't aware of it yet. They're about to reveal it. It's going to blow your fucking mind.
I'm stoked for Max Payne, man. But yeah, that's pretty much it. But yeah, good podcast, guys. And this has been episode 75, the Nitro Beer podcast. Check nitrobeer.com. We got a bunch of articles up. Matt Pierce, Mark Bradshaw, you know, the whole gang. we're all there. Go there, subscribe to the Beardcast, subscribe to the Jumpcast, all of it.
Leave comments so we know if we're improving or if we suck. Just something.
Yeah, you know.
Visit the Facebook page because we are getting some decent hits through the Facebook page if you have a Facebook account.
That's true. Like us on Facebook. Give us the old thumbs up. But yeah, episode 75 of the Beardcast. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
See y'all.